Welcome to this podcast from the International News Safety Institute. This time, we're talking to news executives about how to manage a crisis in the newsroom.
All I want to really do is just provoke some thought amongst you on how you would deal with a crisis in your organisation. News organisations are getting much better at realising that bad things do happen to journalists. In the past, I've met lots of journalists who thought that they had a level of protection for being a journalist. Oh, it never happened to me. I'll be fine. That road traffic accident never happened to me. Pretty much invincible. Well, I know that management have got a plan, and you as the managers are going, have we? Oh my goodness, have we got a plan? Some of you might not even know if there is a crisis management plan. You need to have something there to pull out of the drawer when emotions are running very, very high because one of your very dear colleagues has just been taken hostage. What is a crisis in your world? Now, it slightly depends on the size of the organisation. It depends how many people you've got. It depends what the incident is. Some organisations, slightly larger, slightly more mature in terms of security plans, won't find dealing with the death of a colleague very difficult because they have protocols in place. They've got a big security team that will just sort it all out for them. What makes it a crisis is the fact there's little or no warning. There's very little accurate information. It happens pretty quickly. One minute your correspondent checked in at 10 o'clock, no worries at all. 10:30, they're in a serious road traffic collision, fighting for their lives in a nearby hospital, and the fixer and the driver are both dead. You report the news, so there's intense media interest when one of your people get hurt or killed. You will be scrutinised. Your reputation is also at stake, depending on how you deal with this. We all know that going to conflict zones and former conflict zones is a risky business, but you can put things in place to lower the risk, and a risk assessment process should really be done by most organisations. And having some contingency plans in place. Have you identified a company that's going to assist you to negotiate if somebody gets kidnapped? Do you know their number 24 hours a day? Do you know how much they cost? Who in your organisation is allowed to call them? Next of kin training, I'll call it, but breaking bad news. Do you have people within your management team who know how to go to somebody and break bad news? And then after any sort of traumatic incident, you have got to manage the recovery, manage the aftermath, and think about the post-traumatic stress of the people, obviously, that have been taken, but also think about post-traumatic stress of the teams that were dealing with it. A lot of people don't like plans, but effectively a plan is just a guide, really. When everyone else around you is panicking and not sure what to do, you can just pull out the document that sits there, even if it's just a checklist. Okay, what do we need to do in the first hour? Let's just get this right, and then we'd only have to do it once. If you have something in place, whether it's checklists, a plan, or just a bit of an idea, the impact is much more reduced. You get a grip of it quickly. You have strong leadership within your management teams. Somebody takes control, and you actually manage to get the crisis under control, so it basically never really spirals out of control. It just stays at a manageable level. Your reputation stays intact. A crisis management team needs to be reasonably small, have all the functions covered, but have somebody in charge who ultimately is going to make the decision. Do you have a kidnap and ransom policy? Are you working for an organisation that would say they would never pay a ransom? Have that conversation sort of now before you have somebody kidnapped, because it's a very difficult one to have once someone's been taken. It's too emotive at that point. The one thing about policies, kidnap and ransom policies, KNR policies, the fact you have one should only be known to a very small management team. What you don't want to do is the whole organisation knows and then the team are on the ground saying, oh no, just ring them. We've got a great KNR policy. They'll pay you, don't you worry. Puts everybody at risk. And it's not very helpful. Be prepared for the worst and don't bury your head in the sand. A lot of organisations that we work with just say, we'll be fine. Yeah, you probably will be. But the fact is that with a tiny bit of preparation, I'm not saying spend weeks on this, have a bit of a comeback plan of what you're going to do. Because burying your head in the sand and hoping it will be all right when we're talking about people's lives is not really good enough nowadays.
This podcast was produced by the International News Safety Institute. For more information on INSEE, please go to www.newssafety.org.